o'clock. Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. It's One About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. You can text or call the program today, 970-242-1340. Corlin Sutton, not at Broncos voluntary workouts. Once again, we have to stress here the word voluntary.
Technically, it's in there. But not showing up is held against you.
It is acknowledged. It is not forgotten.
Especially by a head coach who gets rid of a kicker for speaking as much. Can't imagine what type of grudge he's going to have against Cortland Sutton. He's going to be below the guy that kicked Sean Payton's dog.
You know what's telling me? He wants out of Denver. He wants to get traded.
He's gone.
That's what it's telling me. Let's go ahead and just jump into it now.
Yeah.
Because it is
started.
Top of the hour. It's around the NFL.
The latest on the Broncos and the league. It's around the NFL on the Jim Davis Show.
So if you've not heard, Corlin Sutton did not attend Broncos voluntary workouts over in Denver. He wants to get paid. He has 2 years left on his current deal. Out of the $26 million left, only $2 million of it's guaranteed. And so my take is this. If you want me to stay here, you're going to have to redo my deal, and I'm going to have more guaranteed money. I have to have more assurances that you want me to stay here and want me to be part of this, whatever this looks like going forward. Otherwise, trade me. Draft's coming up next week. There would be some interested parties, I'm sure, in Cortland Sutton. Then trade me, get some draft assets, and get me out of here to someplace else. So either show me you love me financially, because if I'm going to stick it out here with this, and it is a rebuild. Stop this. We're just looking to reload. It's not really a rebuild. No, it's a rebuild. It's a rebuild. If you want me to stick to the rebuild, you're going to have to financially make it worth my while. Otherwise, send me someplace where I'm going to be happy. Because I know I'm, from a win-loss standpoint, I'm not going to be happy here. Plus, you're not committed to me with only $2 million of $26 million guaranteed.
Yeah, this team's going to suck. I'm probably not going to play a full season. And if I do, I'm probably not going to live up to the numbers I have right now. So let's try our best to alleviate the situation for all parties involved. And I'm just not going to show up to, quote unquote, voluntary workouts.
And so here's from the Broncos' perspective of it. Because it's $17 million against the cap. I think both years of the remaining deal. Yeah. That, yes, Corlin Sutton caught a career-high 10 touchdowns last year. Had a good year in that regard.
Sure.
Was he a Pro Bowl player?
No.
No, he was not. And so I think if you're the Broncos, you're looking at guy's 28, still right side of 30, but a guy that's not the impact player that he was early on in his career.
Before the
knee injury, that still a good player, still probably a number two for most teams.
Yeah.
Maybe a number three, depending on which team he goes to. Probably not a number one for a good number of teams. But maybe that could even be the case. And right now in Denver, he's their number one guy. But particularly with Jerry Jeudy getting traded. But if you're the Broncos and you look at Cortland Sutton, injury history, yes, he had 10 touchdown catches, but the production outside of that was not great and hasn't been great since coming. It's been okay, but not great. That are you willing to financially invest in him where right now, there are teams that would make a move for him, would trade for him before the draft coming up next Thursday. And do you look at that as this is an opportunity to add the picks that you don't have? Maybe get a second round pick out of him. Maybe. Probably not. Probably more like a third or a fourth round.
Yeah, like, I don't know who would offer up. Somebody really desperate.
I doubt anybody give him a second. But
I doubt anybody would.
But they maybe could get a third round or fourth rounder out of him. Maybe they package that with something else. They get back into the second round. where maybe they would look at drafting a Spencer Rattler, somebody like that, or Pratt, the Tulane quarterback. And that's how you approach the Courtland Sutton situation. Because for Courtland Sutton, he wants assurances. And I don't blame him. He wants some assurances that financially you're committed to me. Otherwise, here's the opportune time to trade me someplace else. Draft is coming up next week. You guys are looking. He knows that Denver's looking to add picks.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a chance to add maybe some draft capital for a player that long term doesn't really fit into Sean Payton's plans.
Yeah, and if I'm the Broncos, I absolutely look to trade him because you can at least get somebody that might be more productive for Courtland Sutton. Because Courtland Sutton, before this last season, had 14 touchdown catches in 5 seasons. Yes, one of those he was hurt. So, okay then, 14 touchdowns in 4 seasons. That's not great. You take away the injured season, he's got 24 touchdowns in 5 full years of playing time. That's less than 5 touchdown catches a year. Like, what's the point of paying him number one wide receiver money when he's a number three wide receiver
on most teams.
The back of his card?
Yeah, on most teams, he's a number three guy. Maybe a number two guy, depending on the circumstances.
Mm-hmm. He averages 50, right around 50 yards per game.
That's number three numbers right there.
Yeah.
He probably, in some ways, he may not have been the number one guy. A lot of cases... on the team he's currently on.
If you round up, he's 4 catches for 50 yards, 53 yards.
That's not great.
That's 13 yards per catch average. That's okay.
That's not bad.
1.25. Like, you're not a threat to anybody.
Great in the red zone this year, but this year was an outlier. It was a career high year for him. And others have set out voluntary workouts before, like Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
They've set it out before as they try to get long-term deals done. Sun's never done this before, though. This is the first time that he's passed on voluntary workouts. And so that sends a pretty strong message. A guy that has always been there, been involved, want to be part of whatever regime was in place. And now I think he's looking around. Russ is gone. Simmons is gone. Jewel's gone.
Well, they got a little bit of an iron fist at the top of the food chain now.
Yeah,
too.
A lot of veteran guys are no longer there, both sides of the ball, particularly his quarterback guy that got him the ball, those 10 touchdowns this season.
Yeah. You got a firm handshake as the head coach instead of kind of 3 straight wet noodles, if you know what I mean. Like, Sutton's entire time there was a year of Vance Joseph, some Vic Fangio, 3 years, Nathaniel Hackett, now Sean Payton, and he sees that, wow, my production is not good enough for Sean Payton. My production is just not what it needs to be for him to keep me around. Look at these other guys whose production has been good and worth the money, and he still released them. Justin Simmons, Josie Jewell.
But also,
what is he going to do for me? Like, I want assurances that I'm going to get paid because I'm not earning money.
Right. And look at the way that Sean Payton's addressed the wide receiver room. Tim Patrick comes back, but on a restructure. Judy's gone, gets traded to your Browns.
Yeah. Thanks for that.
You're welcome. Hopefully it works out for you.
They re-signed him, though. Yay.
And Denver's in a spot where in number 12 right now. That maybe they could get one of the top 3 wide receivers. That's a possibility that they, one of those guys, you know, probably not Marvin Harrison Jr., but you never know how the draft's going to play out with the number of quarterbacks that might be taken and things like that. But LSU's Malik Nabers, Washington's Roman Adunze, you know, those guys, most likely all 3 of those guys could be gone.
By 12, yeah, I think so.
But maybe there's one, depending on team's needs. That might slip through.
Mm-hmm.
But then you've got Malachi Corley at Western Kentucky, really good player. Troy Franklin at Oregon. There are other guys that they could possibly look at adding at that spot that would be better than what you've got with Courtland Sutton. But somehow Malik Nabers fell to 12. Oh.
That'd be nice.
That'd be nice if you're the Broncos. For whoever ends up quarterback in this team, Stidham, whoever, that would be a nice addition. You know, and so in 2023, if you're going through the gotta have Courtland Sutton back, man, they gotta do this. Because I saw our good friend Cody Rourke, Mile High Sports, saying you gotta pay the man about Courtland Sutton.
Why? I'd love to have Cody on.
We're gonna have him on next Wednesday for the draft. So in 2023, he finished 57th in receptions, 44th in receiving yards. He's 21st in yards per target. That maybe he could be in a different offense, could be a more productive player. Mm-hmm. That's a possibility. But some of those numbers, though, are not eye-popping. 57th in receptions. That's not a great number.
It's not, no.
And I don't know, maybe there is truth to you get him with a quarterback. Say they trade him. I'm trying to think of a place that off the top of my head that'd be a good fit. Say he goes to the Rams. Maybe with Matthew Stafford there. Maybe that's a good fit for him. Maybe he
won't be the number one there.
Won't be. Nakua's going to be your number one guy, and rightfully so, but he could be a good compliment to him.
Yeah.
That's a possibility. A place where maybe it's not, maybe where, because like, you're not going to trade in Kansas City. Chiefs would probably be okay having Courtland Sutton, though. They'd be all right to have him as a third wide receiver. You bet. You think Mahomes wouldn't mind having him? Sure, he'd love to have him there. But if you're Courtland Sutton, I understand both parties in this. I'm not trying to be a fence sitter, but I understand both sides. Number one, you're the Broncos. You feel like maybe you've seen your best of Courtland Sutton. And he's not Justin Jefferson. He's not Nakua. He's not a CeeDee Lamb. He's not an upper half of the league. He's not Cooper Kupp. He's not an upper half of the league receiver. He's not a game-breaking, game-changing receiver. He's a really good two or three on a lot of teams. And if you're Courtland Sutton, you feel like I just came off a career best year in terms of my production in the red zone. I've always been the good soldier here. I've always been committed. I need a commitment from you that you want me to be part of this long term. I can see both sides of this. But I can also see the Broncos looking at this as, okay, he doesn't want to be here anymore. I can see Sean Payton saying, all right, he doesn't want to be here anymore. And we're not entirely sold. We want him here anyway. So let's make a move that makes everybody happy. We get draft capital, and he goes someplace else.
Yeah, looking at it from Courtland Sutton's perspective, there just has to be some sort of self-awareness that I'm not the number one guy. And he wants to get paid because he knows he's not going to get it on the free agent market, probably.
No.
From the Broncos side of this, what's his leverage?
What's
Courtland Sutton's leverage?
Ball is clearly in his court. I mean, as far as having to do something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Broncos.
Moved on from a guy that maxed out at $750 per
exactly.
year.
There's
you
no,
think they're not going to do it from another one?
Exactly. There's no proverbial gun against their head here. They're kind of going, okay, you don't want to show up to voluntary camp? That's fine. We got the draft coming up next week. Mm-hmm. There's talent there. There's younger talent, younger, potentially cheaper talent early on. And that's the direction we're going to go. We're already reshaping this roster. We don't use the word rebuild. Reshaping this roster.
They're rebuilding. Courtland Sutton had...
I'm being a smart aleck about that.
He had 14 more yards than Jerry Jeudy this year. And they already traded him. Just don't trade Courtland Sutton to the Browns. But... he's got no leverage here.
He does it. That It's all in the Broncos' favor in this whole thing.
I'm not going to play this year. Okay, what are we losing?
Okay. Yeah. We'll just go draft a guy.
You mean Jared Stidham's going to have to throw to somebody else? Dang. You showed us. Like, I'm sorry, I like Cortland Sutton. Seems like a good guy, but this is not a great business decision.
I understand that we're, you know, I understand he wants a level of commitment from the Broncos, but only the $2 million this year, by the way. It's this on this contract that he gets the guaranteed $2 million. That's it. It's over with after
that. Look at the back of his football card. I would want some guarantees, too, because you probably won't get them going forward. You look at a guy, Keenan Allen. He's a number one wide receiver, even with all of his health issues.
Still your top guy.
He plays 17 games this year at his average. He has more receiving yards this season than Cortland Sutton has the last two.
Yeah.
He was on pace to clear 1,600 yards this year. Keenan Allen was. Like, Nico Collins would have gotten almost to Cortland Sutton's 2 years of production this year if he played all 17 games. Tyreek Hill didn't even play 17 games and had a yard shy of 1,800. Those are number ones. And Cortland Sutton wants to get paid like a number one at 700 yards. Get out of here.
You need to be talking in the 1,500 yard level.
Close to double what you're getting. 10 touchdowns, that's good. But it's like it feels like most were garbage time touchdowns. The fantasy football touchdowns that helps no one. You're down 70 points and your wide receiver gets a 5 yard touchdown. It's like, thanks.
The one against the Bills was big.
Yes.
In Monday Night Football. That was big.
One.
But it's as if he feels like I'm the number one guy. I need to be paid like a number one guy. And you look at the numbers and it's like, no, you're not.
And the last three head coaches might have gotten them. Not going to get this guy to do that.
Yeah, I just think, and I respect Cody's opinion on things. I just, the thing to pay the man. If he wants to come back, you know, if you want to extend on a very team friendly deal, sure. Welcome back. We're still going to go draft a wide receiver, and you're probably not going to be our number one guy. I don't think Denver's going to do that. I would not be shocked at all to see Cortland Sutton traded before and or on draft day.
Yeah.
Just for Sean Payton to go, don't want to mess with it.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't want to mess with the whole thing. We need draft capital. We're rebuilding, reshaping this roster, and we'll send him someplace else.
Cortland Sutton has kind of underwhelmed the last 4 years.
I just think you have to pump the brakes on he's a number one guy. Got to pay the man. No, good guy. I feel bad that he's had the injury history that he's had, but the numbers don't back up him getting a big contract extension to stay in Denver. This don't. At least one other thing on around the NFL this morning. Story on Pro Football Talk also that originally came out from ESPN.com that during this recent hiring period that Robert Kraft, Patriots owner, called fellow Falcons owner Arthur Blank to essentially tell, according to the ESPN story, that Bob Kraft told Arthur Blank, you know, I wouldn't trust Bill Belichick. I don't know if I'm going to, you know, that of course now everybody's denying this, that the source who spoke to two people is a close Kraft friend and longtime Belichick confidant. How true this is, I don't know. According to Pro Football Talk, that Bob Kraft denies saying anything negative to Arthur Blank about Bill Belichick after the two agreed to part ways.
I would too.
Also, that team spokesman Stacey James said, in fact, Robert advocated for Bill to get the job. Now, according to a report, Kraft still owes Belichick $25 million.
There's probably some offset there, too.
And that amount would have been offset by the money, ding, 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 that Belichick would have got from blank.
Can't imagine why he would advocate for him to get hired then.
So if that would help, if he gets hired by the Falcons and it offsets the money that Kraft owes him, right?
Yeah.
Why would he tell Arthur Blank, I wouldn't trust the guy. I don't know if I'd trust him. Wouldn't you do everything possible to go,
yeah, he's great coach.
We're going to miss Bill. You know, it was just time to move on. But man, what a talent. What a genius. What a great football coach. Wouldn't you want to do that?
Yep.
If you're going to owe him money and this is going to take that off your little bit of off your ledger, why in the hell would you not want him to be hired by Arthur Blank?
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you do everything within your power to sell that guy on that guy? And it's not exactly like you're selling a bad bill of goods here, pardon the pun with Bill. But just won 6 Super Bowls. That's all he's done.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the last couple of years have been lean and haven't been as good, but still, it's not tough to sell him to Arthur Blank just on Belichick's own resume. And if you're going to financially benefit from it, why in the hell would you say, I don't know about that guy. I wouldn't trust him. I wouldn't trust him on my football team. Yeah. Well, you did for a long time, dude. And he helped you win 6 Super Bowls. It just seems like it doesn't jive, right? It doesn't make any sense.
Right. Like, what is it about him you don't trust?
And why would you tell Arthur Blank that to create a seed of doubt, a grain of doubt?
When it'll financially help you and your team.
Exactly, because why do you care if he goes there and he does well? Okay, why does it matter to you? Other than people go, if Gerard Mayo doesn't work out, they're going to say, why'd you guys part ways? Should have given Belichick more time.
Mm-hmm.
Blah, 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 blah. I just don't get why, in this case, why Belichick would try to kneecap, or why, Kraft would try to kneecap Belichick and getting the Falcons job. It doesn't serve him. It doesn't serve any purpose for him. In fact, it hurts him financially.
Right. You got to find who is to benefit from this story to see, like, what does it benefit Robert Kraft to do that?
Now, according to the story, the Belichick did not finish in anyone's top three when Blank and his front office guys ranked the candidates.
See, that's more hinky than anything else.
Why would you not have Bill Belichick in your top three? You may not like Belichick. You may think he's not exactly the most personable guy. He's won 6 Super Bowls. You're the Falcons.
Mm-hmm. He's got like 2 or 3 more as an assistant, too.
He beat your team, dude. Yeah.
He's won a Super Bowl in each of the last 4 decades as a coach of some variety. 80s, 90s,
yeah.
2000s, 2010s.
This story doesn't make any sense to me. Does it to you?
No, not at all.
On any of these counts?
It's like, why? What good does that serve Robert Kraft, number one? Number two, that actively hurts Robert Kraft's pocketbooks. Number three, how do you go around that entire room of people and not one has the maybe to be winningest coach in NFL history in their top three? Like, if they don't have Don Shula in their top three in 2024, I get it. He's dead.
Wow.
But Bill Belichick.
That was harsh, but
still.
But true.
I mean, like, that's, okay, well, winningest coach, we can't have him because he's coaching somebody else's team right now.
But at least
Bill Belichick's available.
As opposed to Colin Cowherd, you at least know.
Exactly.
The Don Shula's dad.
Yeah.
Opposed to Dwayne Haskins.
So, you know, like, all right, well, what about Bill Belichick, second winningest coach?
I don't know about that
you
guy.
You know, what about this random guy? Are you serious?
What about Larry Muckenfuss?
Yeah.
Love Larry Muckenfuss, the work he's done as an OC.
Yeah. What about Bob Hergenwerder or whatever? Like, no, come on. Are you serious with this? I only believe the names that I already know in that story. Everything else is like, this is not true.
Because you're going to have to point out to me how Kraft kneecapping Belichick for the Falcons job, how somehow that serves a greater purpose for Robert Kraft than taking money off his books that he's going to owe Bill Belichick.
Like if it was an AFC job, sure.
Okay, you could kind of, okay, I'm going to, the financial part of it.
Yeah.
It gets superseded by, I don't, or in the same division.
But the odds are relatively long that you're going to play them any more than once every 4 years.
Yeah. And maybe
and Bill's not even going to be around at that particular rotation.
His early 70s right now. So
none of it makes sense.
I don't get it.
I had to go independently verify they're still named the Falcons with as ridiculous as that story was.
I have not had a chance. I was going to watch The Dynasty. I haven't watched it yet.
I haven't watched it.
The Patriots documentary, which there's a lot of stuff coming out of that that's creating a lot of unhappiness about.
Yeah, all the players that were in it seemed to not like it, which.
Yeah, which why were you in it then? If you.
But I took my words out of context.
No, those are the words that came out of your mouth.
Right. You still said them.
Still said that. How is that out of context?
Yeah.
All right. Text or call the show today if you've got something on your mind. It's Wine About a Wednesday to win a bottle of Talon Wine. Plus, we'll have a Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia coming up as well. Text or call us 970-242-1340. Let's see. From Marcus, whatever happened to fulfilling a contract, not a number one wide receiver? Rob, Sutton's agent, sends him highlight catches on a loop to keep up confidence, wants him to push to get somewhere on a new contract. Sutton went through like 10 quarterbacks with the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's true. That does have an impact.
But only one, really, the last 2 years.
Let's see. I got one. I was told the Monford guaranteed the Rockies will play at a championship level. They will have more wins this year than the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. Here's to the Rockies being eliminated by June again.
I mean, are we counting playoff wins for the Chiefs?
Yeah.
I'm not certain. I'm not sold yet.
See, another one. The Rockies are now part of the farm system for teams that want to win.
Nah, I mean, not really. Who's a Rocky right now? You'd be like, yep, taking that guy. If I'm a team that is contending.
I'm... and the crickets started chirping.
That guy's going to get us over the top.
None of them. There's not a single one.
Mm-mm.
There's pieces like McMahon would be good utility guy.
Yeah, good.
Be good guy.
Guy off the bench late in games.
Absolutely.
But those guys are a dime a dozen right now.
Tovar, but you've already just inked him to a big, gigantic contract.
You know, but like he might be young prospect talent that somebody would take a chance on. There's nobody right now that the Rockies are like, man, it's going to be tough to part with this guy, but somebody's coming calling. Or else they probably already would have.
Got a nice text from Rick Nelson, American Family Insurance, congratulating me on the Cato Award. I appreciate that. Appreciates what we do here at the radio station to cover high school sports. And Rick, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Hey, he helps fund some of that, too.
Yeah, yes, you have, Rick. You certainly have. So 8:29, but thank you, Rick. I appreciate the wonderful comment. All right. So, we need to get to a little, Wrigley Field Colorado Sports trivia today. Brought to you by Wrigley Field, Grand Junction's original sports bar located just east of Sam's Palacio Field on North Avenue, home of the 15-minute lunch guarantee. If you don't get your lunch in 15 minutes or less, it's half price at Wrigley Field. Go to the Broncos question today. We're going to go to the playoffs. Playoffs. Talking playoffs. You love this question, don't you?
It's more so the answer.
Which Broncos quarterback has the highest playoff passer rating in franchise history? Not a multiple choice today. Pyle, you got to get the cerebellum going. Got to get that brain firing today. Which Broncos quarterback has the highest playoff passer rating in franchise history? If you've won the last 2 weeks, don't play. Otherwise, send your answer in right now on the text line only, the team line, 970-242-1340. Get a gift certificate to Wrigley Field. Grab some lunch, grab some dinner there. Watch your favorite team. Once again, the question, which Broncos quarterback has the highest playoff passer rating in franchise history? I partially did this for you, by the way. So send your answer in right now on the team line, 970-242-1340.
I have to sit here quietly because I fear I'm going to give it away if I do anything. Yeah,
shut up. You are not allowed to speak. Be quiet in this moment.
I'm just sitting here.
All right, Avalanche radio voice Connor McGahee joining us in just a couple minutes. Where I've been asked not to ask him what's wrong with the Avalanche. So I'm going to try to find a creative way
to ask him
what's wrong with the Avalanche.
Now, did he say us can't ask him or you shouldn't ask
him? Let me quickly get to the text to verify exactly what Connor said. As long as you don't ask me what's wrong with the Avs. He said you. Meaning me.
Is that a Jim Davis or a Jim Davis show? You.
This was a, I don't know. Mm. This was a text from, and I think it could be
the you, royal
meaning,
you.
You meaning both of us.
Yeah.
Meaning that's don't ask me about it.
Okay.
Avs Edmonton tomorrow night, by the way, here on the team. All right, 8:32, we'll take a break and we'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
They need a wake-up call.
Call or text the Jim Davis Show on the Chick-fil-A team line. 970-242-1340.
Welcome back, 8:35. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Thanks for playing a little Velvet Revolver.
I
always love this band. Scott Whelan, the late Scott Whelan, Slash. So Matt Sorum was the drummer in this?
I think Duff was in this band too.
Yeah, they were great. Love their stuff. All right, 8:35. So we have a winner for Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia today.
We do.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Junction right. Joe, first in the door, identifying the believed to be right-handed. Tim Tebow.
Yes, Timothy Tebow.
Tebow.
A 90 passer rating in two playoff games. We had, Jim didn't listen to the question.
No, he didn't.
He said Mahomes. I was like, I wish it was Mahomes.
Yeah.
Be great if Patrick Mahomes played for the Broncos, but no.
Hasn't played for the Broncos yet. Doesn't quite qualify.
But another guess of Jake the Snake Plumber. Which is not a bad guess.
Not a bad guess.
Not a bad guess at all.
Luke,
good job.
I think, had that
good
one.
Good job, Luke.
But yes, it was Tim Tebow.
Yes, the legendary Tim Tebow. All right.
I still think he's right-handed.
You're thinking? So you were just messing with everybody?
And he's still more awkward in the outfield for the Mets than he is for the Broncos in the pocket.
All right, so Connor McGahee coming up in just a moment. And next hour, Scott Hastings, by the way, will join us at 9:20. And the chairman of the Alpine Bank Junior College World Series, Jamie Hamilton, will be with us at 9. So make sure you stick around for that. All right. So signing day today. Central and Palisade do not have signing days. They don't have anybody signing today. But at Grand Junction High School, they have Maddox Lovato, who's going to sign with Iowa Western to play golf. Tanner Roerig is going to wrestle at Colorado Mesa. And Murphy Harris is going to wrestle at Western. So congratulations to those Tiger athletes. And out at Fruit of Monmouth, they have 5 athletes that will be signing today. Ava Stevens, who's had a great career on the softball field. She's going to play softball at Colorado Northwestern Community College up in Rangeley. Addie Ayer, who was outstanding this year on the hardwood for the Wildcats basketball team. She is going to compete in track and field at Adams State. Kendall Wilkinson is going to swim at Colorado Mesa. Swim for Mickey Winder over there. Raina Roberts is going to play softball at Northeastern Junior College. And Mason Compton is going to play lacrosse at Dominican University out in California, which member of the RMAC now. Mm-hmm. So congratulations to all those student athletes signing letters of intent today. All right. We'll take a break. And coming up next, Avs radio voice Connor McGahee will join us. Avs have Edmonton tomorrow night. Winnipeg clinching the first round home playoff advantage in the playoffs when they'll take on the Avalanche, because that'll be Winnipeg winning last night. So we'll, Connor loves Winnipeg, by the way. We know how much he loves Winnipeg, Canada. So we'll talk to him about that. Take a break. And Connor McGahee on the other side. This is the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
We're going to be here a while. Would you like to talk?
Talk to me!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team. Talking Avalanche hockey with the voice of the Avs, Connor McGahee, on the Team.
And with us right now, radio voice of the Avalanche, Connor McGahee. Connor, how you doing, my friend?
Oh, just in between. Is it going to be a tornado? Is it going to be a blizzard? Is it going to be a sunny day? I've lived here my whole life. I'm still not used to it. But maybe someday I will be.
Just wait 5 minutes. That's all. Remember the old adage, wait 5 minutes. And
I know. But, you know, this is why people live in, you know, in San Diego. They don't really have to worry about that.
That's true. So, yeah. Well, over here today, it's going to be like, what, I believe mid-70s. So, you know the side of the hill. You're one of the fight 970s. So you know what
Come over there and play some golf is what I should do.
Oh, this we got.
Hey, you could get here by one if you leave now.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, come on over, Connor.
Don't tease me. I might actually do that today.
Tierrada's a great course. Redlands Mesa.
I mean, it's either golf here or Winnipeg.
Yeah, exactly.
That's an easy choice. See? What's the best course over there? Because I've never actually played in and around Grand Junction.
Redlands Mesa is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Book Cliff.
Copy.
It's the most well-known course.
You got to know a member though, Book Cliff. But I'm sure we can make that happen for you.
Well, I can't believe that either of you as celebrities are not just...
celebrities.
You can't just walk in the door and be like, hey, I'd like to play 18 today, please.
They specifically asked me to not show up.
My good man, I'd like to play 18 today.
Pardon me, if you do have a moment, I'd love to play 18 today.
Well, of course, sir. Of course, Mr. Van Gilder. Of course, Mr. Davis.
Not just now, but never.
Yeah. Tierrada's a really good course, public course, really good. Great backdrop of the monument, and likewise with the Redlands Mesa as well. Chipita's a nice little course. I mean, we have...
Full executive.
Adobe
Creek's nice.
Adobe Creek. Yeah, the fruit is great.
Double Stone down south. Really nice course.
And then you've got, of course, the bridges down at Montrose as well. So, yeah, there's some great courses. There's a ton of great courses around here.
All right.
Well, so
I'm going to make it happen this summer is what I'm going to do.
Okay.
It's going
to
happen.
Make it happen, man. We'd love to see you over here. So,
all right.
I was instructed by you not to ask about the Avalanche and what's wrong with them. So
you're going to do it anyhow.
No, what's wrong with the Colorado Rockies? Tell me what's wrong with the Rockies, Connor. You said not about the Avalanche. I didn't ask about the Rockies.
I'm not going to lie. I haven't watched one second of Rockies baseball this year.
Okay, you're not missing anything.
Yeah, I know. Trust me.
4-13. Yeah. They win yesterday?
No, they lost 5-0.
Okay. So they can't win the series versus the Phil.
No, they're done. They're toast. Yeah. See if they can get a win in the getaway game today. We'll find out. So
we have an update on Freeland's arm. Did they say what's wrong with it?
I haven't seen.
Okay. But it's not broken, right? It just like popped out or something.
Yeah, he landed on the play at the plate, landed on his shoulder. I believe it was his non-throwing
his
shoulder.
Best friend
he went,
on
he went full Mel Gibson and Lethal Weapon and put it back in.
He just slammed it up against the wall and popped it back in. And then he starts screaming at him out there.
Bud Black standing there, I'm too old for this stuff.
Yeah.
Something tells me that it's not medically accurate, but I could be wrong.
That, according to the report I'm seeing, that they don't think it's anything serious. Is what it looks like.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's good. That's good because they need that 13 ERA that he has right now. So, it's good that he's going to be okay. No, I'm glad. Yeah, we want Kyle to be okay.
Not sarcastic at all.
No, we want Kyle to be okay. We do. He was here in Grand Junction with the minor league team here. Super good guy. Mm-hmm. Super nice guy.
Yeah.
All right, so we know that you're going to get to go to your favorite town in Canada.
Yay.
Yeah, Winnipeg clinching the first round home playoff advantage when the Avs and the Jets score off here in just a matter of days. So I guess this is, it's kind of what was expected, particularly after the loss to the Golden Knights, blowing the 3-goal lead, the absolute disaster at Winnipeg, which unfortunately you were with Winnipeg, unfortunately you got to witness firsthand on Saturday. So I guess just your thoughts about Avs, Winnipeg, to get things going here in a matter of days.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, Winnipeg is a streaky hot team because with that win last night over Seattle, I mean, that's seven wins in a row. I think they had lost six in a row before that. So, I mean, if you think that it's been a roller coaster by our standards this year, try being a Jets fan. So, and it just goes back and forth to, you know, are you, when do you peak? Like, is it, is too much out right now? And every team is different. And I just get the sense that with the Avalanche group, I mean, I've been reminding everybody over the past week that the last seven games in 2022, and somebody can remind me what happened in June of 2022 in a moment, but at the end of the regular season, the Avalanche went 1-5-1 in the last seven games in 2022, and then engaged playoff mode. And I just think that the season is 15 games too long, to be honest, you know, and there's a little bit of mental and physical wear and tear, and there's something about the Stanley Cup playoffs that erases all that. And I think, I'm not sure that they're counting on that, but I just think that it's a fact that the playoffs are just different, and it's actually a good thing that there's been some bumps in the road here, because if you go into the postseason complacent, I don't think that's a good place to be. I know they had to work for the division title towards the end of the year last year, but it almost felt like, oh, we're playing the Kraken. It's their first playoff go around, and I know Colorado had a ton of injuries, especially in Game 7. But I just think this is almost a better mental place to be, playing one of the tougher teams and having to dig in and make it happen in different ways possible. So this is not just me being a spin artist. It's not. This is just how this team has been over the past couple of years. And it will not be easy, but I still think that the Avs win this series in six games.
Avs radio voice Connor McGahee with us today on the Team Sports Network. Sean Keeler in the Post wrote a column, and a lot of it was about Gabriel Landeskog. You're already groaning. About, you know, Landy, you know, it's not going to be back for the postseason the way it's looking, and about how this team lacks grit. I don't. I mean, I guess just your reaction. I mean, you're there. You're at practices. You know, you're at skates. You call every game. I guess your evaluation, your opinion of a comment like that this is a team that lacks grit.
Yeah, and you know, I saw and laughed with Sean yesterday. I don't know that that's entirely true because, I mean, say that to Josh Manson.
Yeah.
Say that to Brandon Duhame. I mean, say that to Nathan MacKinnon, even. Say that to Jack Johnson. I don't think that that's entirely true, and I would like a definition of what grit is. I mean, what does that mean? I think that with as many new bodies as the Avalanche have, they're still refining how they have to play a month in. And it worked early on for a myriad of reasons. You get that initial adrenaline jump, and you get a favorable schedule, and you won nine games in a row with the new guys. And I think that when you have new teammates, you have to figure out how to dig out of things together. But I don't think it's because of a lack of grit. I think that style of play in that regard suits Yakov Trenin and Brandon Duhame and Miles Wood and Ross Colton. So, yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say that. I think that the Avalanche need to now, with the Edmonton game not really meaning anything outside of Nathan MacKinnon trying to set the single-season record for franchise points, I just think that the Avalanche have to have the mindset of playoff hockey, which they will, which includes grit. And I look up and down the roster and the styles of play and the personalities, and I would not say that grit is absent of the Colorado Avalanche.
And I feel like the Chris McFarland made some incredible moves at the trade deadline.
You know, absolutely.
Adding Walker, adding Mittelstadt, adding the pieces that they did. But there was that thing that we keep, you know, we're talking about, you know, do they need to get a veteran goaltender? They did not do that. They liked what they saw from Eustace Annan as the backup and Alexander Georgiev, though. Georgie's been on a bit of a rough stretch here a little bit, or has it been more Avs haven't played particularly well in front of him, Connor? Is that what is the truth? And there was a little bit of both.
Yeah, I mean, it's a symbiotic relationship, yeah. Goaltending performances inspire the defense in front, and the defensive performance in front of the goaltender helps their numbers and their chances to stop. But we've heard on numerous occasions Jared Bednar say we need a stop from our goaltender, and for both over the past week, and need a big stop. And they haven't really got one. I mean, that's not necessarily fair to say. I mean, there was a couple instances. One big chance in Vegas on Sunday, like Georgiev stopped a nice pad save going to his right, was a wide open net, and he got one there. But it's I just think that whatever that relationship is, defensive structure to goaltender. I mean, they've both been equally not good and not up to standard. If we're being honest. And they know that more than anybody else. And that's the one thing that they need to get tuned up. And I was talking with Kale McCarr after practice yesterday, and he used the word details again. And I think the details defensively have been a bit lacking for a majority of the season. And I think those details need to be dialed up come Sunday or Monday, whatever day we start. And I do believe that they will be, but as much as we want to talk about the goaltending, it's about a defensive performance in front, whether that's defensive structure, whether that's sticks and lanes. Both have been equally not as good lately for Colorado.
We'll have the Avs in Edmonton tomorrow night, right here on the Team Sports Network with Connor McGahee, radio voice of the Avalanche, with us. Just a couple other things. Of course, you're a DU grad. You had to be thrilled that the alma mater bringing home a 10th national championship this last weekend.
Yeah, and they were kind enough to ask me to host the celebration at Magnus Arena there on Monday night, which started back in 2017 and did the lacrosse one as well. So it's been fun to host now four of those national championship ceremonies there at Magnus Arena. But, DU officially the best college hockey program in history, which, I mean, most of the country doesn't even know that the University of Denver exists. But when it comes to college hockey, they got one more than Michigan, two more than North Dakota. That feels good. The old WCHA and obviously NCHC rival as well. Denver just, and the way they did it, too, the highest scoring team in college hockey going in to the tournament, and then you only score 8 goals, and you're winning 2-1 and 2-0 hockey games. I mean, that shows the heart of a champion, and David Carl will get a lot of that credit. And he has been one of the most underrated stories, I think, really in all of hockey if you go back a decade, because his brother Matt won a Hobey Baker with the Pioneers, said that David was the better player, but because of medical issues, David could not continue playing hockey. And so he starts as a volunteer assistant coach, and not even getting paid to be there, but works his way in, is hired after Jim Montgomery takes the Dallas Stars job, and really has been one of the best coaches in American hockey, period. Obviously winning the gold medal with the World Juniors, and he's the first coach to do that and win a national championship in the same year. So I would not expect David Carl's phone to not ring this summer.
Oh, yeah.
If you're the National Hockey League, I know that the Sabres just fired Don Granato yesterday, but if I'm David Carl, I'm either really patient, but obviously he's got a new kid, and you know, college hockey is a good gig. You don't have to travel as much. You play on the weekends, and he could be totally okay with that. But he deserves to at least get calls from a myriad of teams in the NHL.
No doubt about that. There'll be teams interested in David Carl. There's little doubt about that. Connor McGahee with us. Connor, got about a minute here left. I do want to very quickly ask you about the Coyotes moving to Utah the impact that may have on the Avalanche moving forward.
Well, I mean, the Edmonton Oilers played the last game at the Mullet tonight. They're the first half of a back-to-back. They come to us tomorrow. But that'll be the last home game, apparently, in Coyotes history, at least this current iteration. It all appears that the Salt Lake City area will get an NHL team. Ryan Smith paying over $1 billion for the relocation to Utah. And obviously that's a nice regional rival for the Avalanche. I mean, a pretty decent quick flight for once. We don't know if we switch divisions and go back to the Pacific and they move the Alberta teams into the Central. We'll find out. I mean, that would be tough travel for the Avalanche, but you better believe that it's a nice regional rivalry that we currently have in the NBA and in Major League Soccer and now in the National Hockey League. I know that the players from the Coyotes are excited about the stability aspect of that, and I do like Salt Lake City as another mountain town, a mountain capital, I guess, here in the Rocky Mountains. So everyone, I think, is quickly and as strangely as it happened, is excited for the move, and that should become official here very quickly.
All right, Connor, appreciate it. We'll have the game tomorrow night, pregame at 7 o'clock, Avs and Edmonton right here on the team. Thanks, man.
Thanks, fellas. See you.
Take care. Connor McGee, radio voice of the Avalanche with us on the program this morning. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back.